talking about Sunday, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to be talking about the peace of Christ in me. Amen. The peace of Christ in me. And I believe that we're in a time where we need to anchor ourselves in the peace of God. Amen. And so this Sunday, I'll be preaching that message. Amen. But tonight, amen, we're going to finish off the seven bowl judgments. Revelations chapter says this: "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.'" Let's stop right there and pray. Father, bless the reading of your word, anoint it to our hearts. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word to build us up and to increase our wisdom and knowledge, Lord, of you, God. Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. So, these seven bowl judgments are the last of God's judgments because with them, God's wrath is complete. Now, after these seven bowl judgments, God's wrath is complete. But it's important to note that these judgments will sound similar to the last judgments, which were the seven trumpets that Pastor Josh had preached on last Friday. They're going to kind of sound similar. But the difference is this, that you got to understand. One of the differences is this, and this is the big difference. In the seven trumpet judgments, those seven trumpets judgments only affected a third of the earth. A third of the earth. Now, these judgments that we're going to read tonight, the seven bowl judgments in Revelation chapter 16, these judgments, they affect the whole earth. The whole earth. So when Pastor Josh shared last week about the seven trumpet judgments, only a third of the earth was affected by those judgments. What part of the third of the earth? Who knows? Was it the part of Asia or the part of Russia or the part of the United States? Who knows? I believe that probably each part of the earth is going to get their fair share when it comes down to the seven trumpet judgments. He might choose this part. He might choose America to pour out, you know, the first judgment. He might choose Asia to pour out the second judgment. I don't know. But it's only going to affect a third of the earth when it comes down to the seven trumpet judgments. But the judgments that we're going to talk about tonight is going to affect the whole earth. So whenever you begin to hear these judgments, I want you to know that it's going to take place in every country, in every continent, in every island, on every ocean, on all over the earth. These judgments are going to come upon people. So let's move along because there's quite a few of them to review. Bowl number one is found in verse number 2. It says this: "The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshiped its image." Now, before I go any further, you may say, well, Pastor, how do you know that these judgments are going to come on the whole earth? Well, look at verse number 1. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.'" On the earth. It didn't say a part of the earth, a half of the earth, or a third of the earth. It said on the earth, period. Okay? So we see that now these judgments are going to affect the whole earth. The first judgment, the first angel with the first poured out his first bowl. They're like bowls. And inside that bowl, there's a judgment. And the first angel gets the bowl, and then he goes to the earth, and he begins to pour that bowl. And inside that bowl is judgment, and he pours it over the whole earth. And what happens when that first bowl is poured out upon the earth is that festering, ugly festering sores break out on every person that has the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. We hear a lot of talk about the mark of the beast. That is the mark. Some people are today, they're saying, well, you know, if they come out with the vaccine for the coronavirus, should we take it? Some people will say, don't take it because it's the mark of the beast. Listen, let me tell you something. Whenever the mark of the beast comes out, it's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be hidden. Let me say it again. It will not be hidden. You will have to make a conscious decision. When the mark of the beast comes, they're going to say, listen, this mark means that you're renouncing God. That's what they're going to say. This mark means that you're renouncing God. You're renouncing Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. You're renouncing the Trinity. I doubt when they come out with the vaccine that they're going to say that. They're not going to say that. You see, to be able to take the mark of the beast, you're going to know that when you do that act, you're renouncing Christ. You're renouncing God. You understand that? It's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be hidden because you're going to have to make a choice whether you're going to serve God or you're not going to serve God. Whether you're going to be committed to God or you're not going to be committed to God. You're going to have to make a choice if you're left behind. For those that are left behind, that don't get taken in the rapture, because the mark of the beast will begin to come out after the saints that are raptured are taken with Christ. See? So those that take the mark of the beast, and here already in Revelation chapter 16, the mark of the beast has already been distributed. It's already been given. Huh? And this first judgment is for those that took the mark of the beast. And what's going to happen to them, this first judgment says that ugly festering sores are going to bust out all upon their body. Huh? All upon their body. These sores are going to come on all non-believers. And all the Christians are going to be protected. Those that are loyal to God, those that get saved during the tribulation and they get committed and they get loyal to God, they will not get the mark of the beast. And because of that, these boils are not going to come on for they're not going to come on them. These sores are not going to come on them. See, even in the midst of this tribulation, God is going to be still protecting his people. Maybe these boils are not going to come upon them because the church is underground now. The underground church. And maybe because the church is underground, these sores are not going to come upon the church. Maybe. Okay? So, but the point is that the believers will not get these sores because the believers will not take the mark of the beast. So we see here that even in the midst of tribulation, God is protecting his people. It's important to see that while the world is going to be persecuting the Christians during this time, some Christians will be martyred. They will be beheaded for their faith. Matter of fact, if you don't take the mark of the beast because they find you and they say, you know what, the only way you can live in this world is if you take the mark of the beast. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, we're going to kill you. We're going to cut your head off. And listen, there are going to be some Christians, because they're sold out, they're going to say, I don't care, you can kill me, you can cut off my head, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So do what you got to do, baby, but I ain't going to renounce my Jesus. I ain't going out like that. I may have missed the rapture, but I'm not going to miss his second coming. Hello, somebody. I understand. I'm not no dummy. I know that God has given me a second chance, another opportunity to make things right. And so therefore, I'm going to stand to my convictions, go ahead, take my head off. So while the world is persecuting Christians, God is going to be persecuting the people of this world. He said, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, he's putting all these ugly, festering sores on their body. All those that have the mark of the beast are going to get those ugly, festering sores on their body. That's God persecuting them. Let me tell you something. God will persecute those who persecute you. Come on, somebody. Huh? God is going to be fighting for the church. And I want you to know that God is still fighting for us. God is fighting for us. Those who have the mark of the beast and who worship his image will be struck with these sores because God is not pleased with them. And his wrath will be poured out on them. These sores, they're described as ugly. They're going to be ugly. So, for all those that are not Christians, ladies, guys, and you're a pretty boy, or these worldly ladies that are all like to doll themselves up, you can doll yourself up all you want. But when this judgment comes, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be an ugly sore. And the Bible says not only is it an ugly sore, but it's a festering sore. A festering sore. In other words, it's a bothersome sore. It's bothersome. It's itchy and it's painful. Almost like the sores that are described that Job had on his body in the book of Job when he busted out with all these sores because God allowed Satan to touch his body. But he said, you could touch his body, but you cannot kill him. And it says that sores busted out all upon Job's body. And it says that it was so bad that he took a piece of broken clay jar and he started to scratch himself on his sores with that broken piece of pottery. Because it bothered him so much. These sores are going to be nasty. They're going to be itchy. They're going to be bothersome. They're going to be ugly. They're going to be some nasty things that come upon those who take the mark of the beast, those who reject God. And listen, you may be here tonight. There's people today that are rejecting God, my friend. Listen, it's time to stop rejecting God and accept God into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Quit blaming the church. Quit blaming Christians, my friend. It's between you and God, my friend. It's between you and Jesus Christ. Make it right with God. You're not going to be able to give excuses when you stand before the presence of God. Oh, I didn't serve God because of this pastor or because of that sister or because of that brother. No, my friend, you're going to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account. Surrender your life to God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. See, I believe God is saying to these people, these unbelieving people, I believe what he's saying by this first judgment and giving them these sores, he's saying, you want it to get the mark of the beast, which is ugly to me. So therefore, I'm going to show you what real ugly is. Come on, somebody. Huh? He said, you wanted to get the mark of the beast, and that mark of the beast looks ugly on you. And so because you wanted to get that ugly mark of the beast on you, I'm going to show you what real ugly is. Why? Because God will not be mocked. This is why you shouldn't play games with God. You shouldn't play with God. You shouldn't play church. You shouldn't, you know, listen, if you're going to serve God, then serve God. If you're going to serve God, then serve God and take God's seat. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. Don't play with your salvation. Listen, don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Be real with God. Serve God. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Huh? Because young and old want to play games with God. Come on, somebody. God ain't somebody to be played with. And his word ain't somebody to be played with. You got to take God serious. You got to take his word serious. Because you can play games in the church all you want, but let me tell you something. When you stand before God, you ain't going to play games with him. When these judgments comes, you're not going to be able to play those games. The second bowl is verse 3. The first bowl was these festering sores. The second bowl is verse 3. It says this. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person. And every living thing in the sea died. Every living thing in the sea died. What does that mean? That means no more shrimp cocktail. No more catfish. No more tuna. In other words, the food supply that's already scarce is going to even become more scarce. The second bowl is the sea is going to be poisoned. The sea is poison. And because this bowl is poured out in the sea, it is poison. Everything in the sea dies. This could be a humongous oil spill. Listen, you can go ahead and Google an oil spill in the ocean and click on the images and see what it looks like. You know what it looks like? I'll tell you what it looks like. You can look it up. Prove me. Look it up yourself. It looks like blood in the ocean. That's what it looks like. And what does verse 3 says? It says the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea and it turned into blood like that of a dead person. Remember, John is describing what he's watching. John is doing his best to describe what God is showing him. John doesn't know nothing about oil from the ground right now. Oil in the sea had not been discovered yet. But yet he describes the image of it to the T, that it looks like blood. And sure enough, that's what he writes. And if you was to Google oil spill in the sea or in the ocean right now, and you look at the images, it looks like blood in the ocean. Go ahead and prove me. Do it. See? And so the end result is that all the living things in the sea die. So this will further affect the food supply and make the famine worse. The famine will become worse. And listen, this is, remember, affecting the whole sea. The whole sea now. In the trumpet, it was just about a third of the water. But now the whole sea, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Antarctic, everywhere, all over the world, the whole sea will be turned, and it'll be look like red, like blood, maybe because it's a massive oil spill. It's going to contaminate everything, and everything in the ocean will die. The third bowl judgment is found in verse 4. It says, the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. This third judgment is now poured out on the fresh water supply, and it is destroyed. Remember, these sound like the seven trumpet judgments. But the difference is, in the seven trumpets, only a third of the water was affected. Now, all the fresh water is affected. Every river, every stream, every canal, every well is going to be affected. So, when we look at this bowl, the second bowl affected the sea, but this third bowl affects the fresh rivers and springs of water supply. This is where we get all of our drinking water. So now there will be not only hunger because there's a lack of food, but now there's also going to be thirst. See, the problem is sometimes why it doesn't hit us today is because we haven't experienced real hunger or real thirst. Because we're spoiled here in America. We have a lot of food. We got a lot of things to drink. But listen, for those that get left behind, they're going to experience hunger, and now they're also going to experience thirst. Matter of fact, I'm thirsty right now. I need a sip right now. Huh? There's not going to be no water to treat their wounds that they have from their sores. There's not going to be no water to take a bath in. There's not even going to be water to cook or even clean anything, because all the fresh water supply is going to be destroyed. So when we looked at this, all the fresh water is going to be affected. So after these judgments, there's going to be no more time to repent. These last seven bold judgments is the final opportunity that people have to repent. This is their last chance. Look at verse 5 and through verse 7. It goes on. It's not a bowl, but let's look at it. It says, "Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, 'You are just in these judgments, O Holy One.'" The angel saying to God, "God, you are just in these judgments. And you have given them blood to drink." It says, "For they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." So what's taking place here in verses 5 through 7 is that here we see that God is being just in his judgments. He gives the reason why. Because of the persecution and the killing of his people, the church. You may look at all these judgments and say, "Man, God's a mean and cruel God." No, he's not. He's just. And he is just acting on behalf of his people. God is our avenger. All the persecution taking place will be paid back. Even the persecution that is taking place today to the church. Listen, those people are not going to get away with it. God is going to pay them back. They are not getting away with it. Just sit back and let the Lord fight our battles. People are persecuting the church today. In parts of our country, they're telling us you can't have church. You can't gather to have Bible study. That's persecution, my friend. But I got news. They're not going to get away with it. God is fighting for us. This is why you don't need to get all mad when people mess with you. Just ignore it, because you know that God is on your side. You ain't got to get in the flesh. Just let God handle your lightweight. Let's look at the fourth bow in verses 8 and 9. It says that the fourth angel poured out his bow on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify God. This fourth judgment is the sun scorching people's lives. Imagine that. The sun so hot that it's burning. You complain about a sunburn today. This ain't going to be nothing compared to any of your sunburns that you've ever had. It's going to scorch the skin so bad that the skin's going to burn off. Your skin's going to burn off your flesh. That's how bad it's going to be. You talk about global warming. This is global warming at its finest. See, before, in the trumpets, it said that one of the judgments was that a quarter of the sun didn't give heat, causing freeze and freeze storms and coldness. That's what happened in the seven trumpet judgment. It became cold because a quarter of the earth didn't give its heat, or a quarter of the sun didn't give its heat. But now it's reversed. And now, instead of being cold, people are being scorched and burned by the sun. God is going to turn up the heat on the sun. You think it was hot today or in this summer? We ain't seen nothing yet. There's going to be, not only are people going to be burned, but there's going to be severe dehydration will take place. Because remember, not only is it going to be hot and burning, but we don't even have fresh water to drink. Because the fresh water has been destroyed. So there's going to be severe dehydration. People are probably going to die because of a dehydration. And despite all of these judgments and sufferings, verse 9 says that people still don't repent. My God, what is it going to take for people to repent? Even today, people go through hell and high water and still don't repent. People can be going through it in their marriage, going through it in their body, but they still don't repent. People can be facing a life in prison and the death penalty, but they still don't repent. That used to be you. But thank God that the mercy of God, the grace of God touched your heart and you repented. But there's so many people out there. There's even probably people watching me online or in this parking lot that you still haven't repented. And you're going through so much trouble. You should repent and give your life to God. You say, well, the trouble I'm going through is not my fault, my friend. The wages of sin is death. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Repent from your ways. Repent from your evil ways. Repent from your sinful ways. Repent from your rebellious ways. And watch God show mercy upon you. You know, these people could repent in any one of these judgments. They could have repented in judgment in bowl number one. They could have repented in seal number one. This is why these judgments, even though they're so hard, they're really God's mercy on God's people. They're really God's mercy because some people probably will repent. They say, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to repent, man, and give my life to Jesus. And even though I got to go through all this trouble, maybe at least I'll still go in the second coming. But despite all this suffering, verse 9 says that people still don't repent because of the hardness of their heart and because of the pride that's inside of them. You know, pride is the number one thing that keeps people away from God. Pride. People refuse to humble themselves. And people put up a wall of pride like, man, I'm not going to repent. The preacher said repent, but I'm not going to repent because it's pride. Listen, you ain't got to prove nothing to me. You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before the Lord. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will lift you up. These people, they harden their hearts. And they even cursed God. And it says they even knew that these judgments and these plagues, they were from God. But they still persist in their prideful ways. Their pride doesn't permit them to repent and turn to God. Verses 10 through 11 shows us the fifth bowl judgment. It says the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. They refused to repent of what they had done. This fifth bowl judgment is darkness. Some people say that this darkness describes the times that it will be. These times will be very dark times. But all these judgments, we've been taking them literal. So let's look at this one as being literal. There will be literal darkness. Look, it's dark out here tonight, right? It's dark, except for up here. But listen, this is nothing to compare. It's going to be pitch black darkness. A darkness that you've never, a creepy darkness, a darkness that you've never seen before will take place. It's going to be a literal darkness. Along with darkness comes depression. So So in these dark times, there's going to be, people are going to sink into a deep, 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 deep depression. I want you to know that depression is from the devil. If you're depressed right now, that's not of God. It is not of God. God doesn't want you to be depressed. He doesn't want you to be down. He doesn't want you to be dragging your lip on the ground. Listen, God called you to be more than a conqueror, an overcomer. He hasn't called you to be depressed. This is why whenever the enemy tries to drag you into a depression, rebuke that depression and remind yourself that it is the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And because there's a lot of depression during these dark times, because that's what darkness happens, darkness brings depression. There's going to be a lot of suicide. There's going to be a lot of people committing suicide because of this dark time. Because of this dark time. During this dark time, there's not going to be no happy times. There's not going to be no good old days. There's not going to be no good days. There's not going to be, even if it's your birthday, it's still going to be a bad day. Why? Because it's going to be a time of deep, deep darkness. And that's going to be the fifth bowl judgment. It says, because of all the pain and all the sores that people are going to be, they're going to start eating their own tongue, gnawing at their own tongue because of all the pain of their sores and all the hunger. And they're going to be so hungry, there's not going to be food. They're probably going to be wanting to eat their own tongues and eat their own flesh. And they're going to start gnawing their tongues because of the pain and because of all these judgments that have come upon them. It's going to be a horrible time. But even still, they refuse to repent. Time and time again, the Bible says they refuse to repent. This means they have the option. They have the option to repent. But they don't repent because of their pride. The sixth bowl judgment is found in verse 12. Verse 12 says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Now, what is this one? This judgment is that the Euphrates River is going to be dried up. And the reason why it's being dried up is because it's in preparation for the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon. And this is going to be the last war that will ever be fought. And it's not even going to be a war because Jesus is going to come and he's going to end it like nothing. See, this is the final battle and the final war. And God's going to wipe out his enemies. But the sixth judgment and that he's gonna, is that he's going to prepare. He's preparing the world for that battle of Armageddon. Verse 13, look at it. It says this. It says, then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. What does this verse mean? This verse is the unholy trinity. See, the devil always tries to copy God. He always tries to copy God. God has the trinity, so the devil has his unholy trinity. The trinity has the dove as its symbol. The devil has the frog as his symbol. So this unholy trinity is comprised of the devil, which is the dragon, the beast, which is the antichrist, and the antichrist is going to have his own false prophet, which is going to be like a guy, a priest, a pastor that is his own false prophet that spreads his teachings. And so during the seven-year tribulation, the unholy trinity is going to be operating, deceiving the leaders of this world and deceiving the people of this world. That's why so many people are going to be deceived. Let's look at verse 14 now. It says this in verse 14. They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. So these three, this unholy trinity, will perform great signs in the world to deceive the leaders of this world and to deceive the people of the world. They're going to unite all the nations to fight against God in the battle of Armageddon. Now let's look at verse 15. It says, look, it kind of changes a little bit. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. I want to give you 3 points on this verse. Number one, stay vigilant. He says, look, look. In other words, God is saying, Jesus is saying, because the words are in red, stay vigilant. Be watchful. Know the times that we are living in. According to the scriptures and according to the Spirit of God, look, be watchful, be vigilant. Know the times that we are living in according to what the Bible says and according to what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church. How do you know what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church? Well, what is the pastor preaching? And I'm not the only pastor preaching it. So many ministers are preaching this message on the end times. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God saying, be watchful. Look up, for your redemption is nigh. The Spirit is saying to the church, it's not a time to play games. It's a time to be ready. Because let me tell you something, we're not going to experience these judgments. The rapture is just going to come. The rapture is going to come for us. The second thing I want to point out in this verse is not only to stay vigilant, but to stay ready. It says this. It says, look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, vigilant, and remains clothed. Stay ready. Stay dressed. Stay clothed. You know, one of the things that gets to me about my kids is, you know, a lot of times we're getting ready for church. And my young one, especially Timmy, we're already walking out the door. Everybody's ready for church. I looked at Timmy. That boy ain't got his shoes on. He ain't got his socks on. He's still in his tarantarans. I said, boy, we're going to church, man. You ain't even ready. If this was the rapture, you would have missed it. Hello, somebody. But he's not going to miss it because he's going to be ready. Huh? You know, what's the moral of the story? They're not ready. And some Christians are like that. The rapture is going to come, and they're not ready. They're not dressed. They're not clothed. What does it mean to be ready, to be dressed, to be clothed? Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 18. This is how we stay ready. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 18, it says this. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Who is it talking about here? Who is her? I want you to know that her is the church. The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, church. And it says in this verse, it was given to her to clothe herself in the linen. And then it tells us what the linen is. Bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Her is the church. We are the church. We stay ready by continuing to serve God. Nothing must stop our service to God. Corona must not stop our service to God. A trial must not stop our service to God. A problem must not stop our calling and our service to God. We must continue to serve God. We must continue to preach the gospel. We must continue to disciple people. We must continue to bless the community. We must continue to evangelize. You need to continue to serve on the worship team. You need to continue to serve as an usher. You need to continue to help God's people. Why? Because that is our clothes. That's how we stay ready. I want to stay ready. I don't want to get caught slipping. I want to stay ready. This is why I continue to preach the gospel. This is why we continue to meet up. Why? Because we got to stay ready. Hallelujah. You hear me tonight? Stay ready, church. Continue to serve God. with your acts of service. Your acts of service. If our service stops, we are left shamefully exposed. If our service stops, we are left shamefully, shamefully, shamefully exposed. It is shameful for Christians and the church not to serve according to this verse. Don't get mad at me. That's the Bible. Revelations 19, 18. Don't get mad at me. Oh, Pastor, you said if I don't serve and I'm not involved, and oh, shame on me. That, I didn't say it. The Bible did. It is shameful for Christians and the church not to serve. This is why you should come in the morning, tomorrow morning, to help serve. Come help give out boxes of love. Boxes of food. I know it's hot. I know the sun's out. I know it's a challenge. I know it is. Listen, but come serve. Put your hands to the plow. No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is why we can't let nothing stop us from serving our community. We can't let nothing stop us from evangelizing the lost and reaching the hurting. Stay ready. Keep your clothes on. Men, keep your pants on. Women, turn them heels into tennis shoes. Put that hair in a bun. Roll up your sleeves. And serve. Serve. You say, well, I'm not coming. Well, if you're not coming, you're watching online, serve online. You know how you could serve? Comment and be on fire in that comment section and give those hearts and share this video and invite people to watch somehow, some way. Let God use you to serve. I'm blessed by our church because we have a serving church. You come every Saturday, serve. Some of you blessed go by my house in the men's home, and you bless the home and bless our house. You come serve, even if it's with groceries. The church staff still comes, and they work during the week in the church, and they serve. The worship team still comes, and they serve. They put their necks on the line for you and I to serve. Can I be real, huh? They come out here and they serve. They know they're susceptible for things, but they still come and serve. Our leaders, our pulpit workers, we know we become prime targets, but we still come and we serve. We still come and serve. Because we want to stay ready. We want to stay dressed. The third thing that I want to point out in this verse is that he comes like a thief. He says, I come like a thief. Like a thief. There was a famous movie back in the days called The Thief in the Night. You should watch it. It's on YouTube, I believe. The Thief in the Night. He comes like a thief. You know, a thief doesn't tell you when he's coming. Believe me, I know, because I used to be one. Come on, somebody. If I was going to break into your car to steal your rims, I wasn't going to tell you when I was coming. See, if the rapture would take place after the tribulation, as some people think, we would know the time of Christ's return. And we would be ready for it. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to come like a thief. You're not going to know when I'm coming. Only the tribulation saints will know when he's coming, because they can count 7 years from the rapture and know that that's when he's going to come back. But they're going to have to go through all those 21 judgments, all that craziness. So it's going to be bad. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy for them. Huh? Listen, let me tell you something. If Jesus was to come back after the rapture, that would mean that Jesus would be beating his bride. Jesus is not a wife beater. Let me say that again. Jesus is not a wife beater. We are the bride of Christ. You think he's going to beat us up with all these 21 judgments? No, my friend. My Jesus is not a wife beater. Those that get saved during the tribulation who miss the rapture will go through all the 21 judgments. But their comfort is this. Our comfort is the rapture, right? Their comfort is that they will only have to last through that tribulation for 7 years. If they can just hang on to their faith for those 7 years, they're going to be okay. That's their comfort. But our comfort is that we're looking for the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 says, "For God has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." God has not appointed us to suffer the wrath of the 7-year tribulation. Listen, we will be raptured before the tribulation if we stay vigilant and if we stay ready. We will be raptured. Verse 16 describes the battle of Armageddon. The worship team can come up. It says, "Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon." All the nations gathered here. Why? Because they're going to fight against God. They're so dumb. They really think they're going to beat God. The seventh bowl judgment is found in verse 17. It says, "The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, 'It is done.' Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth. So tremendous was the earthquake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on people, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail because the plague was so terrible." This seventh bowl judgment is worldwide natural disasters. Thunderstorms, earthquakes so powerful, every inner city will be destroyed, every island annihilated. Hailstorms, hailstones, the size and weight of bowling balls are going to fall and crush people. See, this last plague will be the worst of them all. This plague will be the worst of all the other plagues. And after this plague, God's judgment is complete. These plagues, they're horrifying. They're bad. But they're still remaining the most horrifying of God's judgments if you don't surrender your heart to Christ. And you know what that is? That's a place called hell. A place called hell. That's going to be the most worst of God's judgment if you don't accept Jesus into your heart. So repent today and let Jesus save you. He loves you. And he's gone to prepare a place for you. And one day, he's going to come back to take us to that place where there will be no more pain, no more heartache, and no more trouble. He's a good God. But you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you're watching online, if you're here in the parking lot, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent today. Give your heart to Jesus. If you're saved, stay saved. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to Egypt. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't fall away. Stick close to God. Because He loves you and He has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. If you're here and you're watching, and you don't know Jesus. If you're here in this parking lot and you're maybe you're backslidden, or maybe you're not saved, and you want to give your heart to God, I want to help you give your heart to God. If that's you, you say, you know what, I want to surrender my life to God tonight. Maybe you're listening out there, you've been listening to this preaching, you're in the neighborhood, you've been hearing my loud voice. Give your heart to God. If you're ready to give your heart to God, say this prayer, repeat this prayer, and you got to say it aloud. You got to say it with your voice, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. But you got to actually verbally confess it. And even if you're a Christian, you should say this prayer, man. You should always say this prayer. Just to be safe. And it also encourages people next to you to say the prayer along with you. So even in that, you're being used. You're serving. Because as people hear you say it, they say, you know what? I'm going to say it too. So let's all say this prayer together and let's say the prayer of salvation. Repeat these words. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I believe you're the Son of God.
I believe you're the Son of God.
And you died on the cross for my sins.
And you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you resurrected from the dead.
I believe you resurrected from the dead.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
And be my Savior.
And be my Savior.
I repent tonight.
I repent tonight.
I turn from my evil ways.
I turn from my evil ways.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
I give you complete control.
I give you complete control.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
My Master.
My Master.
Help me.
Help me.
To serve you.
To serve you.
I believe.
I believe.
That I am saved now.
That I am saved now.
I'm going to heaven.
I'm going to heaven.
Write my name.
Write my name.
In your book.
In your book.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For dying for me.
For dying for me.
For shedding your blood for me.
For shedding your blood for me.
Father, help me.
Father, help me.
Every day.
Every day.
To live for you.
To live for you.
Help me.
Help me.
To serve you.
To serve you.
Even though I don't understand everything.
Even though I don't understand everything.
Help me.
Help me.
To take it day by day.
To take it day by day.
With you.
With you.
Knowing you are with me.
Knowing you are with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right there where you're at. If you said that prayer, lift your hands.